Hello, Oregonians, and welcome to another edition of Oregon Crossroads. I'm Dr. Bud Pierce, and today we'll be discussing the COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, from the beginning, I have to state that I'm speaking on my behalf, not representative of any organizations. So today, let's do an update. I last spoke to you some weeks ago, and we're about 100 days into this pandemic. I know it seems like years to many of us, but we're about 100 days in. And let's see where we are. Let me start off by saying that we're in a good place. We're in a good medical place. Scary, but let's look at the data. And again, I'm a doctor, and I am trained to just look at the data as it is and to deal with it and to act upon it. So we've had about 100 days of COVID. We've had about 220 Oregonians die from the virus. 220, too many deaths, but it's 220, not an astronomical number. During those same 100 days, we've had about 10,000 Oregonians die of usual causes. Number one and two, cancer and heart disease. Behind that, you have accidents and other causes of death. But again, 220 out of about 10,000. So of our death rate, about 2.2%. Again, it's quite manageable. Now let's talk about some interesting data that's come out. We're learning about the pandemic as it affects us and as we study it and as we live with it. So we're getting, again, better information, more accurate information, how it impacts us. And I want you to, first of all, remember again that this is not something that is foreign and outside of the human experience in terms of impacting us. What I mean by that is coronaviruses, of which COVID-19 is a member of that family, are a normal part of nature. This is nature. We're in nature. The virus is in nature, trillions of organisms are in nature, and we live in harmony usually. Now, the COVID-19 has mutated or changed, as all living organisms do, and right now it is a threat to us because rather than causing a usual kind of cold and sinus infection, it can get into our lungs and cause a serious pneumonia, and it can spread and cause a lethal process and organ failure. But again, it's not a foreign invader. It's not anything that human beings as a species haven't seen. It's been around a long time. So again, let's ratchet it down and look at this as a consequence of just being alive in a living planet and in this environment. So last week, the World Health Organization came out and they had 1,300 of their scientists estimate what is the mortality rate, because we're all afraid of dying of COVID. What is the mortality rate of COVID in the population? They came up with about 6 per thousand or 0.6%. So 1,000 people infected, 6 are going to die. Now, of course, if you're infecting people over 75, a lot more than 6 per thousand are going to die. If you're talking about children, way less. So that's the best estimate right now that we have, 6 per thousand. Putting it into context, flu is about 1 per thousand. So this is 6 times worse. This is real. This is real. It's serious. It's not overwhelming us, but it's a real event. Spanish flu, bad name, but the flu of 1918-1990, probably closer to 60 per thousand. 60 per thousand. So again, this is way worse, 10 times worse than we're experiencing now. So thank goodness that's not what we're seeing now. So that's where we are. What about what we've learned about treatment? We have a couple of treatments that seem to be effective. One is the antiviral remdesivir, which is a drug that when it's given to people that are hospitalized, it's an antiviral, it shortens the course of the illness and helps some get over it a bit quicker. And again, these aren't real sick people. So it's useful for hospitalized patients to get them well quicker and get them out of the hospital. And more recently, we learned that a very interesting drug, dexamethasone, that I use a lot in my oncology practice for anti-nausea, when given in a dose a little bit higher than the dose I give for a nausea effect, typically 6 milligrams instead of 4, cuts the death rate of people that have serious COVID by about a third. That's a lot. So people that are in the ICU or that have pneumonia are right now getting dexamethasone, and their death rate is cut by about a third. So those are important advances. Not what we want, but we'll take anything at this point. We also are learning that, again, our vaccine studies are going forward, that already patients are being enrolled in vaccine studies. We have about a dozen potentially useful vaccines. So again, very useful. Things are moving along well. So again, in Oregon, we're talking about our state. We're not talking about New Jersey, which is the highest mortality per million at about 1,600, 1,700 per million. Oregon sitting at 50, way lower. In our state, we're doing quite well for frankly unknown reasons. It may be density of population, it may be other things, nobody knows. But what's happening here in Oregon is good. There's a lot of concern. You're reading about states now where hospital capacity is being overwhelmed, etc. Well, in Oregon last week, both the Providence healthcare system, which has lots of hospitals and lots of hospital beds in our state, and the Legacy hospital system, both very large hospital systems, were reporting that they had a total of about 30 COVID patients in the hospital at the present time. 30 out of thousands of beds, frankly. I mean, they have a lot of beds. So again, no overwhelming of the medical care system, plenty of beds to take care of people. And right now we're actually putting people in the hospital that we weren't before, because now we can actually test them and find out they're positive, and we have some drugs we can give them. So again, more than go home and tell us if you get sick or come back, it's, well, you're a little bit sick, let's get you in the hospital, let's get you some treatment that can have some positive impact on your situation. Salem Health, which is our local hospital, has been reporting in many cases less than 10 patients in the hospital. So again, everyone is ready, everyone's looking at the cases and the increasing number. Let's talk about the increasing number. In America, it's reported that we've had 134,000 deaths and about 3 million citizens that have tested positive. And what you can say, though, remember that number I said, 6 per 1,000 are going to pass away. And probably the most accurate thing to measure is the death rate, frankly. So if you take that 6 per 1,000 and say 134,000 people have died, how many would you estimate have been infected in America? It'd be about 22 million. So if you use the estimated death rate and you look at the number of people that have died and then try to back calculate it to the number of people infected, we're at about 22 million. And again, as you think about it, 30, 40, 50, 60 million is a kind of average number that you think about with these easily transmissible viral infections. So we're kind of going along there. So again, doing great in Oregon. We've had 2% of our deaths roughly over the last 100 days we do to COVID. The other 98% have been done to the usual. We have a very low death rate at 50 per million. We have our hospital situation is great. Our medical situation is great. We're doing just fine. And let's wrap it up now with masks and social distancing. Most, the consensus of science is that we can slow the spread of this virus in our population by wearing masks, if we all wear it, so we don't transmit it through coughing and sneezing and such, because lots of people are asymptomatic when they have COVID. They haven't got a single symptom, but they're still concerned they're infectious. And by doing social distancing. Do we have ironclad proof that this will change the nature of the way the disease affects us in our population? No. But is there consensus around the idea that this is what we should be doing? Yes. So what I would suggest that Oregonians do at this point is, let's wear the masks, let's keep our distance, let's get our economy going, let's kind of do it all right now, because we're still in that murky grayness of life. You know, everyone wants black and white. Yes mask, no mask. Yes vaccine, no vaccine. Yes social distance, no social distance. When you think about your life, very little is lived in the black and in the white. Most of it's in the gray, in the shadows, in the murkiness, where it's really hard to know exactly what to do. But I think we'll rally around what we're doing, have confidence in where we are, that better days are ahead. These infections always go through populations and they pass. We are not helpless as an organism or being. We have lots of resistance to similar organisms, to other coronaviruses that can partially protect us. We're learning more about susceptibility. There are two pieces of the DNA that make you more susceptible than other people. There's part of short arm of chromosome 3. There's something to do with the blood group typings. If you're O, it looks like maybe you're less susceptible to getting a bad pneumonia. If you're A, you're a little bit more susceptible. We're learning all those things. Those are very useful. And at the end of this, we'll be able to write the book about the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. We'll understand it, how it affected us, and how we dealt with it and how we got through it. And again, the vast majority of people living today, and certainly living in Oregon, are going to be alive and doing well at the end of this pandemic.